Shalom and welcome once again to Chizak Ve'Amatz, Be Strong and Very Courageous. My name is David Oakes and I'm the pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I'm the founder of David Oakes Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oakes. Join me again for the next 30 minutes as we study the Word of God concerning Israel and the end time and living successful lives in this end time. Now, we have been speaking for several weeks now on the subject of Israel. Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, that there were signs of the times and that we should be able to recognize the signs of the times. Now, we have gone through the Bible and we have found out that God, by everlasting promise, he called it the everlasting covenant, has given the land of Israel to the Jewish people. Now, that includes the area of Shechem and the area of Hebron. That includes all of that area that the world says belongs unto the Palestinian people. Hebron, down in the south of what the world calls the West Bank, what the Bible calls Judea, Samaria, and Shechem, what is modern-day Nablus. God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, this is your land. It's the land of your seed through Jacob and Isaac. And God said this in 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, through the mouth of David, the psalmist. He said, we are to be mindful of this covenant. Each one of us are to be mindful of what God himself has given the Israeli people. And so we are going through the Word of God, and we're finding out some things that occurred. God gave it to them by everlasting promise. We looked last week at chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, the blessings, and we found out that God said, Israel, children of Israel, if you obey my commandments, he said, I will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He said that he would make them the head, not the tail. He said that he would make them lenders and not borrowers. I mean, God gave them a whole list of blessings. Then he got down into verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, and he said, but these are the things that are going to occur. If you are disobedient to me, you're going to be cursed. And he goes through, in my Bible, a few pages of the curses, but then he gets to what is probably the greatest of all the curses, over in chapter 28, verse 63, and he says, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And you shall be plucked from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth, even of the other. Now, one of the great curses, if not the greatest of the curses, was that Israel would be plucked up off of the land that was given to them in the everlasting covenant. But let me tell you what, that happened. In fact, now the estimate is that there are Jews still living in 120 nations of the earth. But at the beginning of the 20th century, a wonderful miracle began to happen. People began to come back. Jewish people begin to come back and flow back into the land of promise. Well, why did that take place? Well, chapter 30 of Deuteronomy will tell us why. Because remember, always remember, God has an everlasting covenant. That means it's everlasting. It means it's forever. And God does not lie. God does what he says he's going to do. Well, you know, you say, well, I know some one time when the Bible said this about so-and-so, and so-and-so didn't get what the Bible said they were going to get, so that means God doesn't tell the truth. No, it doesn't. It means so-and-so did not appropriate the faith in God's word that was required for them to receive what God had promised. God does what God says he's going to do. God is not a man, the Bible says, that he should lie. If you find it in the Bible, then God's going to do it exactly that way. If God says in the Bible that Babylon will be overthrown, which is modern-day Iraq, it's going to happen. That's just the way it is. Now look at chapter 30, verse 1. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. So God's telling them, you're out there, you've been scattered because of disobedience, but if your mind start coming back to me, And you shall call the blessings to mind. And you shall call the obedience back to mind. And they begin to function in what God wants them to function in. God says he will go. He will have compassion on them. And he will gather them up. He will gather them from the nations whither the Lord had scattered them. If any of thine be driven out into the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Now God is an all-knowing God. God is able to know the future because God lives in eternity. God lives in eternity past, God lives in eternity present, God lives in eternity future. God lives in all eternity. And God knew that the children of Israel were going to be disobedient, but God, and so God said, Moses was saying it, prophesying it out of his mouth. And God knew that though they were disobedient, that they would come to the place where they were obedient to the commands of God, and God would begin to gather them up and bring them back into the land of Israel, the land of promise. Oh, that's good news. Let me tell you why it's good news. Because if God keeps his promise there, then God's going to keep his promise to you. If God tells you, and he does in his Bible, that you can live a life without worry and concern and fear, God tells you, he says, be not concerned. He said, casting all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. That means cast all of your worries and all of your frets. God says this. He said, take no thought about tomorrow. If God says to take no thought about tomorrow, then that must mean that it's possible, or God would be an unjust God to tell you to do something that you can't do. But you can do exactly what God says. You can live a life without concern and worry. Now, this is for somebody listening. You can live your whole life without concern and worry. You don't have to be afraid about tomorrow. Well, if God told you that you don't have to be afraid, then you don't have to be afraid. He promised that. And if God brings back the children of Israel into the land of Israel, he did just like he promised them he would do. And that's what we're looking at. Then God will do for you what he promised he'll do for you. Oh, that's good news. That's such a blessing. My Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. I mean, fear doesn't have to be a part of your life. Love, the love of God, the love of God will cause all fear to leave your life. People who are running around fretting all the time and being worried and being concerned and being afraid, it just tells me that they're not perfected in the love of God. They can be. They just have to get closer to Jesus. They just have to love him more. They have to spend more time in his word. Now, that's simplifying the message because that's not our main topic. But let me tell you what. Come, join us at the Light Church Fellowship at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard, and let us teach you the Word of God on that subject and many other subjects. You need to be in a church, a good church, that teaches the uncompromised Word of God, that tells you the way God says it, not the way man thinks it, that shows you the Scripture. You ought to go to church and hear more than one or two Scriptures. You ought not go to church and hear more magazine articles read than what you hear Scriptures. I mean, the only way you're going to know God's truth is to hear the Word of God. And that takes comparing Scriptures. God said, line upon line, precept upon precept. You got to have what the Word says. Glory be unto God. Now, let's get back to our subject at hand. It would be good for us. So God said, the cursing is, if you don't obey my commandments, you're going to be dispersed into all of the earth. But when your minds and your obedience come back in the line, God said, I'll go and I'll fetch you. He said, I'll go into the uttermost parts of heaven if I have to get you. That means any place in the earth, the Jewish people, glory to God, God's going to bring them back into the land of Israel. And our generation has gotten to see that, glory be unto God. For 1948, the present state of Israel became a living entity again in the eyes of man. It had always been in the eyes of God, but man began to come back in line. Now, there are always great plays by the evil one to take away from the people of Israel what God has promised to them, but it's not going to work. God's people will have what God says that they will have. Let me have you turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Oh, this is a prophetic utterance by David, the prophet. And the psalmist and the great shepherd of Israel, the king of Israel. David said in verse 22 of 2 Samuel 7, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods? For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God." Now notice that again. "And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel?" Let me tell you the answer to that. There is no other nation in all the earth like Israel, like the people of Israel. They hold a special place in the heart of God. So get off of their backs. Get off their backs, because you are combating the Almighty God if you're always on the back of the Jewish people. God said, "I will bless those that bless them, and I will curse those that curse them." I want the blessings, glory to God. I want to be empowered to prosper. I want my needs to be met according to his riches and glory. I want, glory to God, to be able to receive 1 Peter 2:24 that says, "By whose stripes ye were healed." I want to be able to walk in that healing and that health that God has promised. Well, let me tell you what, blessings don't come to people who are ugly, to the nation of Israel. Did you hear that? Blessings do not come to people who are ugly, to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. You ought to just find Jewish people and you ought to just love them because of what they've done. It was that race of people, that biological seed of Abraham, that allowed the word of the living God to be passed down to us, glory to God, so that we walk. It says in Ephesians, Christians that are listening this morning, that we were without a covenant until, glory to God, the Jews gave forth a covenant unto the earth, and then through the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Christians, or the world, was able to partake of part of the covenants that God had established with Israel. Let me tell you what, though, part of the covenants, there's a reason I said it that way, because the land covenant does not come unto us. That was to the Jewish people specifically. We don't have time to speak on that in its fullness right now. So he said, "And what one nation in all the earth is like thy people, even like Israel." So God said, disobedience is going to take you out of the land, but obedience is going to bring you back into the land. So let's look at some scriptures here that will be a blessing to you, I believe. Let's read Jeremiah, the third chapter. Jeremiah, the third chapter. I'll give you time to open your Bibles. If you're sitting there in your living room listening to the radio this morning, chapter 3 of Jeremiah. You got it? Verse 14. God says this about bringing them back. "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and will bring you to Zion." Now Zion, you have to understand about Zion. In Hebrew, Zion. Zion. Just say that with me. Zion. We can have a little radio seminar, radio classroom. Zion. And so God, Zion originally spoke of Temple Mount, where the temple was. Then it spoke of the city of David, Zion, that goes down into what now is modern-day Silwan, a city that's primarily inhabited by Arab peoples. And so from the edge of Temple Mount, going down southwardly in that area, was the city of David. Then that became known as Zion, and then it became more poetic, and the entire land of Israel became known as Zion. You hear the modern term Zionist. Why do they call them Zionist? Well, a Zionist is anyone who believes that God has given them the right to come back into Zion. And they believe that because the Bible says that God has given them the right. Oh, it doesn't matter what the UN says. It doesn't matter what Kofi Annan says. It doesn't matter what Dan Rather says. It doesn't matter in the least what Peter Jennings says about the situation or what the reporters say. It doesn't matter. All that matters is what God says. And God says the land is theirs and that he would bring them back. He says in verse 17 of Jeremiah 3, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto the fathers. Now, most of the time when the Bible's talking about the land of the north, it's speaking of the land that's directly north of Jerusalem. It's speaking about what is now modern-day Russia, and modern-day Moscow, modern-day Russia. And the Bible also calls it Magog. In fact, in Chinese, they call the area on the other side of the Great Wall of China, it is still known as Magog. And so anyway, that's another sermon and another subject, but it's that area of Russia, and God says that I will bring the house of Judah and the house of Israel together from the Northland. The greatest immigration in the last 10 years to Israel has come from Jews living in Russia, coming back into the land of Israel. One of my favorite things to do is when I fly into Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. Actually, it's in Lod, but we'll say Tel Aviv. When I'm there and seeing the airplanes come in with new immigrants, Jewish immigrants, coming into Israel for the first time, they generally have little sailor-type hats on that have Israel written in Hebrew on them, and they're carrying their little plastic Israeli flags. But see, that's Bible prophecy. Now, notice it says that the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. We don't have a whole lot of time to speak about this, but in the time after Solomon, there was a division of Israel from Judah. They didn't want to follow after the son of Solomon, and so there was a split of the tribes. Part were ruled by Jeroboam, and part were the southern part, and then the Rehoboam. And so there was a separation of the tribe of Israel from Judah, and there was a separation. Sometimes they even warred against each other. It was not too dissimilar to what we had in the United States when the southern states tried to secede from the Union, and they tried to form their own state. The same thing happened in Israel. And so Judea went one direction, and Israel, and Judea was the ones that were known primarily for following God. The Israelites in the northern 10 kingdoms were taken captive by the Assyrians. Then years later, the tribes of Judah primarily were taken captive by Babylon, and in that captivity, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they came forth in that diaspora and were taken captive into Babylon, what is modern-day Iraq. And so God says, though, that in the end times, in those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance to your fathers. So God saying that in the last days something great is going to happen, that God is going to bring Judah and Israel back together, those tribes, and they're going to make their descent, or actually I should say their ascent into Israel. For in Hebrew, the word aliyah means to ascend. Wherever you're at in the world, the Jewish people believe that you ascend, whether you're geographically to the north or to the south or to the east or the west, you always ascend, make aliyah up to Jerusalem. And so they're going to make their ascent up to Jerusalem. Scriptures pertaining to God reestablishing the nation of Israel with the Jewish people. Now look with me to Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening today. This is Pastor David Oak speaking to you from the Light Church Fellowship, 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard. Now notice this in chapter 30 of Jeremiah. It says in verse 2, "For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." So wherever they have been dispersed to, God's saying, hallelujah, the days come that he is going to gather them up and return them to the land that he gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. They shall possess it. They shall possess it. Well, it doesn't sound like what you hear on the news media. They're trying to remove them and take out what the world calls the settlements. Oh, let me tell you what. They call them radical white right-wingers. Many of my best Jewish friends live in Judea, Samaria, and what the world calls settlements. They're staying there because God said it was theirs. It doesn't matter what Yasser Arafat says. It only matters what God says. Yasser Arafat is a terrorist. He kills people. That's what he does. That's what he's about. That's his nature. But God has said that that land belongs unto the children of Israel. In fact, just a few short weeks ago, I spent 10-11 days in Judea, Samaria, going from community to community, being a source of encouragement, going into people who had been attacked by terrorists, who's had lost family members. Oh, one of the parts that is so memorable to me and is so heavy upon my heart. I met with a mother and the friends of two children, two teenage kids who were in a terrorist bombing, who had just terrible punishment inflicted on their little bodies. One of them was killed. One of them is mutilated. And I sat in and I talked to that woman as she spoke. See, they're there because God gave them the land. And God said, I'm going to bring you back. And we're going to go on with scriptures. God said, you'll possess it. You're going to possess it. Possess it. Isaiah 11. Aren't you glad for the word of God? Isaiah 11. Again, you're listening to Pastor David Oaks at the Light Church Fellowship, 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard. I invite you to come out and join us at 10 o'clock on every Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. Now notice here, Isaiah the 11th, verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathos and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So here God's saying again, and when they, according to Deuteronomy the 28th chapter, and then Deuteronomy the 30th chapter, verse 1 and 2. He said when their minds came back to him and they started serving him, he'd go even to the outermost parts of the heavens and bring back Jews, the children of Israel, back into Israel. Now he says, I shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. God will go into all of the corners of the earth and bring forth the Jewish people into the land of Israel because God has given it to them by divine decree. God has given to him by divine decree. That's what God has done. Well, we need to go on a little bit longer here. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Oh, that's good news. I said, that's good news. And then in verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God will give up people's lives to see that the children of Israel return back to the line and land. And it says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. God saying that he will go into the east, and he'll go into the west and the north and the south, and he will bring back the children of Israel in to the land of Israel. Now let's look at Jeremiah 16. This will be our last scripture for today. Jeremiah 16. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 16, verse 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the nations, whether he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. God's saying this. You know, you study in your Bible school classes, in your Sunday school classes, God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, but God says this, that in this day and this time, they'll no more talk about that, but they'll talk about them being brought in from the north, glory to God, the Jews coming back from Israel. Hallelujah. Verse 15 again, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them, and I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. What I'm doing right now is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. I'm talking about God bringing the children of Israel back from the nations of the earth back into the land of Israel. Hallelujah. And in this day and time, this is going to be foremost in our minds more so than God bringing them back from Egypt. Well, we're going to have to stop here today. Remember, our Sunday morning service starts at 10 o'clock. In other words, there are people in church right now while you're listening to this broadcast. We love you. We appreciate you. And we want to keep teaching you the truth. We'll see you next week. Glory to God. Be blessed.